Welcome, brothers and sisters, to our memorial meeting this morning. Let us start with the singing of hymn 226. Lord, when we meet to worship thee, before us let thy glory pass. Proclaim thy mercy rich and free. In Jesus may we see thy face. Hymn 226. We will now sing hymn 83. A great high priest is come, who stands in Aaron's place, who, honouring the law, established life and grace. The law through Moses' service came, but grace and truth by Jesus' name. Hymn 83.
Oh,
It is the duty of our brother Peter Southgate to give us those necessary words of exhortation.
My dear brethren and sisters, apart from the actual emblems on the table before us, there are other links with that very first breaking of bread, very relevant to our readings that we have been recently engaged in the Epistle to the Hebrews, and indeed very relevant to that hymn that we have just sung. Jesus is a high priest over God's house, we read. But let's first of all go back to that first occasion and picture the scene. Jesus and his disciples were reclining around his table in the upper room. They had shared the bread and the wine for the very first time. Then our Lord started thinking of his impending arrest. And especially Peter's reaction to it. He thought of Peter's denial that was about to take place. So he turned to Peter to forewarn him of the temptations that lay ahead. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired thee that he may sift thee as wheat. Yes, the master could foresee Peter's denial. But he then added a most telling remark. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I have prayed for thee. For Peter, the next few hours were to be the most terrible of his whole life. The arrest of his master, his own stealthy following of the soldiers back to the high priest's house, the coldness and loneliness of the courtyard, culminating in that thrice repeated denial of his Lord. And as he relived those tense moments during the next few days, his heart must have been absolutely racked with anguish and remorse. How could he have been so weak? How could he have disowned the one whom he loved more than anybody else in the world? But in his extremity of remorse and anguish, how those words of Jesus must have been one of the few comforting thoughts in his mind. I have prayed for thee. What a comfort. I have prayed for thee. Peter knew something of Christ's prayers. He'd witnessed the long nights of communion with God, his Father. He knew too of, at least knew a little of, the unique relationship that existed between them. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. He knew how God had promised to give to his Son anything that he asked. As Martha recognized, even now I know that whatsoever you ask of God, God will give you. With what growing assurance, then, would the broken disciple dwell on those simple yet profound words, I have prayed for thee. Jesus prays for us too. That, in simple language, is the message of this wonderful epistle to the Hebrews that we're currently reading. The same Jesus that prayed for Peter is at this very moment seated at the right hand of God as our intercessor, our mediator, our high priest, praying for us, asking God that our faith will not fail and our failings will be forgiven. As we read in that chapter 10, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. So let's try this morning to do that, to open our hearts as well as our minds to this supremely comforting fact that, as John says, if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What are the qualifications that our mediator has that enables him to be the perfect mediator, one in whom we can have absolute confidence in his intercession for us? Well, we read it a day or two ago, didn't we, in chapter 5 of Hebrews, verse 5. So Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. Yes, Jesus was specifically ordained by Christ as our mediator, and he's going to do it forever. Coupled with the fact that he is the mediator by God's appointment is the knowledge that although he is now immortal, dwelling in the very presence of God and sharing his divine nature, he once was like us, as we've sung in the second verse of that hymn a few moments ago. Chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Or a chapter or so earlier, in chapter 2, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. What comforting thoughts are these! And the apostle wants us to have full assurance of faith in Jesus' work. You know, there is no possible temptation to sin that we have or can experience that has not already been endured by our mediator. Just think, the special temptations of the young, the difficulties of growing up. Jesus remembers what it was like. The pull of the world. Jesus experienced it too. The problem of loneliness. Jesus felt that also. Physical weakness, pain. Yes, he whose visage was marred more than any man's remembers what it was like to be tired, to suffer pain, even to the point of distraction. He recalls too the overwhelming feeling that everything is almost too much to bear. Father, if it be possible, take away this cup from me. And on that occasion, as we read in chapter 5, verse 7, that his intercession on his own behalf was effective. Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. Yes, Jesus successfully pleaded for himself. Who better than he then to plead with the Father on our behalf? And what an impressive list of qualities for a mediator between God and man has Jesus. As we've just read, chosen by God, on divine oath, the Lord swear, thou art a priest forever, sharing the nature and knowing all the temptations of those whom he represents, the one who has successfully pleaded in the past, the one who, after showing perfect obedience and righteousness, is now Melchizedek, the king of righteousness and the king of peace, the reconciler of God and man, the one whose mediation will continue as long as there is a sinner to be saved. No wonder, then, that we read only yesterday, he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. But the important thing is to have this in our hearts, to remember that he is your mediator and mine. Each of us on baptism into Christ had the unspeakable privilege of joining the number for whom Christ pleads with the Father. The only conditions are repentance and that we make use of his ministrations by prayer. The brother or sister who truly recognizes the need for forgiveness and who has even a partial awareness of the efficacy of their high priest in heaven will never neglect to use the offices that he presents at every opportunity. There is no other way of forgiveness. May we then heed the advice we've already read. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so we pray to our Heavenly Father through Jesus. Paul said that through him we both, that is Jews and Gentiles, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Just think of that, access to the Father. Not personal access as yet, but through our high priest. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us of the pleadings of this high priest, this one Spirit. We remember his words, I'm sure, in Romans chapter 8. He tells us of the pleadings of this one Spirit relaying to the Father not just the words of our prayers, but more importantly, the spirit and the motive of our very thoughts. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We shall never completely understand this verse, these words, this side of the kingdom. But even a limited understanding is a very great source of comfort. We have a yearning to do God's will. We desire to express to him our thoughts and our needs. And yet we find ourselves incapable of choosing the right words or the sentiments to say what we really mean. But because of the unity that exists between God and Jesus, then this apparent sore deficiency is improved and taken care of. We read, didn't we? He knoweth the mind of the Spirit. Jesus is able to reinterpret our thoughts, our longings, our penitence, if need be, our remorse, and convey to his Father the true state of our heart in a way which we could not possibly express. It's a wonderful comfort, isn't it? But at the same time, a very powerful exhortation. The Spirit will not present before God a heart that is not truly repentant, or that is defective in intention, or that is proud. But provided our heart is right before God, then our circumstances, the actual words used, the time, the place, are immaterial. God knows what is in our heart. So, as we read once more, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. For by the wonderful alchemy of the Spirit of Christ, the desires of our heart, possibly inexpressible, are transmuted into our high priest's pleas for mercy. And there is absolutely no doubt that such pleas will be accepted. Our presence here this morning, indeed, the whole of our life in the truth, would be valueless if this were not so. Paul expresses it succinctly when he said, God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Yes, total, complete forgiveness of all our transgressions. And we must admit to many such transgressions each day. And this forgiveness is assured by the work of our mediator in heaven. So again, we repeat the apostle's word. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Yes, there are no limits to the effectiveness of the work of our high priest. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven through his understanding mediation. The only condition is that with that true heart, we do indeed come unto God by him. And that, as Paul again says in Romans 8, by him, by Jesus, we cry, Abba, Father. We plead with him as a father. And we know the response in that wonderful Psalm 103. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Well, with such confidence as these, this forgiveness assured, we should await the future with joyful expectation, a confidence born of our long association with our high priest. At his return to the earth, is Jesus going to turn away from one for whom he has successfully pleaded when he was in heaven? Those who through his great work have become sons and daughters of the living God. Will he not rather, as we read yesterday in chapter 9, to receive the promise of eternal inheritance in the kingdom? Well, we now remember again the way by which Jesus became our mediator. In that same chapter 9, the apostle stresses the unique achievement of Christ. On the Day of Atonement, the mortal high priests under the law went into the presence of God within the most holy place with the blood of animals. But our high priest presented himself with his own blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but even by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purification of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience to serve the living God? Yes, that body and that blood and all the circumstances surrounding that offering is what we now remember. Love, obedience, dedication, endurance, conquest over sin, physical agony, they are all epitomized in these emblems. And our hearts' groanings as we review again his great sacrifice, our feelings of appreciation, our resolves to be worthy of him, they too are silent prayers that will be offered up to God by our mediator in heaven on this occasion. And what we're about to do, as we all recognise, has unbreakable links with the future as well as the past. Like the high priest on the Day of Atonement, our mediator will come back from the presence of God to proclaim all our sins forgiven. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That glorious, comprehensive verse epitomizes the great work of our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And in that day when he returns, may be able to say with a smile to each one of us, as he said to Peter, I prayed for you.
For our memorial hymn, we will sing hymn 256. By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the memory adored, and show the death of our dear Lord until he come. Hymn 256. Brother Joel Thomas has agreed to close this meeting with prayer after we have first sung hymn 94. Reading the last verse. Lord, come then in thy kingdom, set up on earth thy throne, and lest thy sheep grow weary, come take them for thine own. Now when the night seems darkest, come in thy glory bright, come to redeem thine Israel, and turn our faith to sight. Hymn 94.